morning, I wanted to add just one thing. I had posted a couple of adverts for it a few nights before and the night before on Facebook, various Facebook groups, garage sale groups and buy nothing groups and all sorts of groups just to say, hey, this is free, come along. And I had one person comment after the free market, and they commented on the advert I made, and they just said, I just want to say thank you to all the staff there who were so kind and so wonderful. We were able to come in and just feel so blessed to get what we needed. And I just wanted to say a big well done. I know that they've thanked you guys, but I want to thank them. I want to thank the team and every volunteer that was there. David, Tony, your wives, and the rest of the group that helped lead it. You guys did a phenomenal job. And it shows as the community gives feedback. So thank you so much for what you guys have done. It's fitting that we heard a lot of seeds being planted, as today we're speaking mostly about gardens. So I'm going to ask you, if you've got your Bibles, just to open up to John chapter 15. It will be up on the screen behind me. And we're just going to read through verses 1 to 10. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into a fire, and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. This is my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. Father, I thank you for this word this morning. I thank you for your words. And I ask God that as you share with us this morning, you would speak through me, that you would speak to me and to each one of us here. And I just pray, God, that we would be challenged and blessed. In Jesus' name, amen. So there's quite a bit to unpack in this passage. There's a lot of imagery, there's a lot of symbolism. And to understand this true meaning, we need to look at a bit at the larger context. Now, Jesus says, I am the true vine. That's how he starts it off. But this is the last of seven statements that he makes, beginning with I am, in the book of John. And as we read through John, this gospel tells us a lot about what Jesus did, a lot about what he does, how he healed the sick, caused the blind to see, made the lame walk again. He does a lot of stuff. But more important are these I am statements, because they tell us who Jesus is. An author and pastor, Matt Chandler, he said, our confidence in what he, Jesus, does is rooted in who he is. If Jesus wasn't who he said he was, we would not have confidence in what he could do. But because of who he is, that's where our confidence is rooted. There are seven of these statements found in the book of John. They are, I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world. I am the door. I am the good shepherd. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. And then this last one, I am the true vine. So when Jesus says, I am the true vine, to us we might have to dig into Scripture but to understand what that means. But the disciples that Jesus was speaking to immediately would understand this metaphor, and they would recognize what Jesus was saying. See, in the Old Testament, the vine referred to Israel, referred to the people of God, but was always referred to negatively. They were the vine that God planted and tended, but could not produce the fruit They ended up not bearing the fruit, and God would always show his wrath because of it. They had not been the vineyards that God intended. And Jesus, in saying that he is the true vine, he turns this all around and says, what Israel wasn't capable of doing, I'm going to do. I am the true vine, and I will be fruitful to my Father's glory and approval. The repeated use of this I am suggests the name that God gave to Moses at the burning bush. I am that I am. And here Jesus implies that he is the vine where all life comes from. That he is indeed God the Son. As he uses all these statements throughout them, they're all metaphors, but it's a self-declaration by Jesus, identifying himself as God. So let's dive in a little bit and see what the text is telling us. So firstly, there's a twofold relationship here. The first is the relationship between Jesus and God the Father. We have the vine dresser who represents the Father. He tends to cultivate his plants. And then we have the true vine who represents Jesus, the Son. And it's the fruit's vital life source. That's the first relationship. The second is the relationship between Jesus and his disciples, you and me and the disciples 2,000 years ago. They are the branches. And the branches, or the disciples, they determine the result of the fruit. So we've got God the Father depicted as the vine dresser or the gardener, responsible for tending to the vineyard. He cuts and he prunes branches, removing what is dead or unfruitful to ensure the health and productivity of the vine. Jesus is highlighting God's love and attentive care for his people, ensuring their spiritual growth and fruitfulness through Christ. And just as branches draw their life and sustenance from the vine, so we as believers, we draw our spiritual life, nourishment, and identity from our relationship with Christ. The vine dresser's responsibility is to cut off every branch on the vine that bears no fruit, but also to prune every branch on the vine that does bear fruit. Let us have a look at two examples. This here, at the top, that's the branch. This is the branch that the vine dresser prunes. This is the one that bears fruit. To most of us, it may look perfect. It may look like it's wonderful and juicy and it's got all the fruit. But only the vine dresser knows that there's certain areas of this that need to be pruned in order to make it even more fruitful. Now, I don't know about you, this is a pretty big bunch of grapes. To me, this would be a very fruitful branch. But God knows that we can be even more fruitful when we trust in him. And we all know as we live our lives that he'll come along and he'll prune us. Sometimes it's harmful, sometimes it hurts. But it's all for the fact that we can then be even more fruitful. Now this is the branch that the vine dresser cuts off. This is the one that made me to be removed because it bears no fruit. It is hard and it has no life or fruit in it. Not no life, just no fruit. Now, I want to imagine both of these. I don't have a vine here, so I want you to use your imaginations this morning and pretend both of these are connected to a vine and have a look at the difference between the two. One bears fruit, another doesn't. Verse 4 to 5, Jesus reminds us of the importance of maintaining a continuous and close relationship with him. His words are to remain in him as he remains in us. Remain in him as he remains in us. Our job is to stick close to Jesus. Because Jesus always sticks close to us. He's always in us. When this branch is cut and it becomes disconnected, it cannot now begin the process of bearing fruit. It cannot. It can do nothing. Can this branch of its own accord do anything of significance? No. What is it? Useless. And yes, it becomes shriveled up, dry, and it gets tossed into the fire. That is a branch that is cut off, that bears no fruit. And this urge to remain in Christ, this is not just Jesus declaring some sort of need for us that would complete him. No, Jesus is completely self-sufficient. This is his loving reminder that apart from our intimate connection with him, we can do nothing of eternal significance. We're just a useless branch. Remaining in Christ involves a deep, ongoing relationship characterized by trust and faith and obedience. And just as a quick note, the sort of smaller context here, this all takes place 24 hours before Jesus is arrested. He's met with his disciples. They've had a meal together. He's washed their feet. He's explained what communion is. Judas Iscariot, the betrayer, he's gotten up and taken his leave. So Jesus is left with his true disciples, all of whom are already clean, as verse 3 would put it. It's just Jesus and those who trust and believe in him that are present as Jesus is saying this. So when he speaks in verse 6 about the branch being thrown away and withering, many of us might draw the conclusion that he's talking about believers and unbelievers. But I don't think that's what the context speaks to. Rather, I believe he's drawing a distinction between those believers who are in fellowship with Christ and those who are out of fellowship with Christ. Both connected. Believers who are living in an intimate relationship with Jesus and those who might not be. If you look at verse 5, it says here, I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. And then if we go down to verse 8, he says, this is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. When he talks about a believer or a branch that remains in the vine and is pruned, he's talking about a believer that is in fellowship with God. And when you're in fellowship with God, you grow and you bear fruit. Now, this might be a believer who has confessed his sin or his sins, a believer trying to live out his life as a Christian under God's power. This is the believer that's walking in a moment-by-moment relationship and fellowship with Christ. And the promise is that if you're that kind of believer, an in-fellowship believer, primarily, not that we're perfect, but we spend the majority of our lives as Christians in fellowship with him, then your fruit comes by the bunches in life. And it's nothing we do. It's not something we have to try to bear fruit. It's by remaining in Christ that we bear fruit. But in contrast, if you are like this branch that gets cut off, a branch now out of the vine, then you can't expect more fruit than you can expect from, say, a branch of an orange tree that is disconnected from the nurturing sap to be able to bear oranges as fruit. So every moment I spend in sin, every moment I spend out of fellowship with God, it's not, and I want this to be noted, it's not jeopardizing my position in Christ. It's not jeopardizing my salvation in Christ. But what he's saying here is I cannot bear the fruit that God has called me to bear. Because the fruit only comes when we're connected to the life-giving, nurturing vine. So what does this actually look like? What does this fruit look like? Jesus gives a couple of examples of this. And the majority of this text, Jesus uses if-then conditional statements. If a condition is met, then the result will be whatever the result will be. And he uses some positive and some negative, but I want to highlight just a few that Jesus uses as the fruit or the reward of remaining in him. So the first one in verse 5 says, if you remain in me and I remain in you, you will bear much fruit. All right, plain and simple. The next two that he uses actually gives a bit of an example of what that fruit could look like. Verse 7, if you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. So you can see that a part of the fruit of remaining in Christ is a healthy prayer life where you can ask of God and he will give it to you without anything being hindered. Now, it's very tricky because some people will take this verse out of context and say, Jesus says, ask for whatever you want and it'll be done for you. And they'll go and treat God like a concierge and just ask for a whole bunch of stuff and expect him to answer in the way that they want. Some people will even go as far as to declare and decree that this is what is happening. But in this element of prayer, in remaining in Jesus and walking closely in a relationship with him, you can ask for anything and it will be done. Why? Because in your walk with Christ, in your closeness with him, you know him. You begin to know what it is you should be asking for and what you shouldn't. So when you ask for the things that you should be asking for, it will be done. That is what it means to walk in a close and intimate relationship with Jesus. The last one in verse 10 says, if you keep my commandments, you will remain in my love. Jesus even gives us proof of this one by saying, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and remain in his love. So it's not just a statement that if you do this, you'll do this, but he gives you proof. He's like, I have kept my Father's commandments and I remain in his love. These are the fruits that we can expect from being in a right and healthy relationship with Christ. Now, these three conditional statements not only show the fruit we receive, but they also give us a formula for success. Jesus made it incredibly simple for us to succeed and to bear fruit. In this passage, he's not giving us a long list of things that we need to do. We know, he just states, keep my commands. You will remain in my love. Remain in me, you will bear fruit. He's given us a very, very easy formula. The power to bear fruit is not found in our own ability or in trying to do as much as we can in our ministries, in our homes, in our businesses, to work or achieve in our own power. That's not how we end up here. How we end up here is found in how we remain connected to Christ in an ongoing, intimate fellowship relationship. How we remain connected to the life giver and fruit maker, Jesus Christ. So for you graduates and for everyone else here, I want to give you five things, five simple things that we can take away from this today. If these, because I know sometimes when you look at food, it's distracting. So if these distracted you this morning, you didn't quite understand what I was saying, listen to these next five things. Number one, prioritize intimacy with Christ. Prioritize. Make that the priority of your life. Above prioritizing your kids, even, don't shoot me, prioritizing above your spouse. Because only in Christ and in a deep, intimate relationship with him are we able to be effective spouses for our spouse and effective parents for our kids. Prioritize an intimate relationship with Christ. Make it a priority every morning to cultivate a deep, intimate relationship with him. Spend time in prayer. Spend time in his word, studying it, reading it, memorizing it. Meditating on his teachings to strengthen your connection with him and live in fellowship with him. Number two, remain rooted in Christ. I would better say, not even just connected, but rooted. so that if the enemy comes along and tries to tug you out, he's going to have a hard time. Recognize your dependence on Christ for spiritual life and fruitfulness. It's not dependent on you. It's not dependent on your friends. It's not even dependent on your pastors. It is dependent on the vine, the true vine, Jesus Christ. And if you're rooted and connected to him, you will flourish. Stay connected to him through consistent spiritual disciplines and fellowship with other believers. And I think that's such an important part of remaining in Jesus, because the vine has many branches, not just one. And some of us like to look at this and go, this is me, I'm important. And if you're looking like this, great. Just pull off that dead branch that says you're important. Because there's many branches on a vine, and it is the vine that gives life, not the branch. We don't give anything to Christ. He gives everything to us. Remain rooted in him. Number three, embrace God's pruning. Now, this one's a tough one for some of us. All right, because when God prunes, as much as he comes and he cuts off these things, he'll come to this and maybe he'll see how this area is a little bit bulky. I want it to be down here as well. And he'll prune some things and he'll cut off parts that are seemingly healthy. But the reason he does it is so that you would bear more fruit. Sometimes it is not pleasant. Sometimes it is uncomfortable. Sometimes it even hurts. But trust God's wisdom. Trust his sovereignty, even in seasons of trial and difficulty, knowing that he's working for your ultimate good. Number four, obey Christ's commandments. Demonstrate your love for Christ by obeying his commandments. Align your thoughts, your words, your actions, every area of your heart and mind. Align it with his teachings, align it with his word, and seek to live a life that honors him in every area. This is probably the most difficult part. We're human beings, every single one of us. Every single one of us sins on a daily basis. Well, at least I do. And knowing that, we take it to the cross and to the feet of Jesus. Jesus is not saying in obeying his commandments, be perfect. He's saying, obey me, do what I've asked you to do. And as you do that, remain in me. I will give you the power, I will give you the strength, I will give you the resources you need to obey my commands. And when you mess up, there's grace. And when you mess up again, there's grace. But come to me. Confess your sins, be freed, and then continue to go and obey my commands. And then lastly, I want to leave with this. Trust in God's love. Trust in God's love. Rest in the unfailing and unconditional love of God the Father. If you're here today and you've never heard this before, God loves you. He loves you with a passion. He loves you so much that he sent his one and only son, Jesus, to bear the pain and the wrath of God that we were meant to bear. And he did it in your place. That's how much he loves you. So don't worry about what you've done. You might think you've done so much that you could never even look at Jesus. Well, I'm telling you now, friends, he's looking at you. And he loves you. Rest in his love. Trust in his love. Knowing that he loves you unconditionally and desires the best for your life, allow his love to fill you with confidence, security, and peace. Let us pray. Father, thank you for the love that you have for us.